Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. This evening, we talk about how do we detect and determine when an irregular heartbeat is something we need to pay attention to. Is it that we are just too excited, perhaps, about attending a sporting event in which our youngster hit a triple home run? Or is it something that really requires more concern on our part? What do we need to look out for? What are the symptoms that require our immediate attention when it comes to the rhythm of our heart? My guest this evening is Dr. Darren Traub, cardiologist at St. Luke's Hospital in Bethlehem, who specializes in arrhythmia and electrophysiology, and is here to help us understand when we can relax and when we need to take action and take charge of our life. Welcome, Dr. Darren Traub of St. Luke's Hospital.
Thank you, Ellie. It's an honor to be here tonight.
Well, tell me, Dr. Traub, how did you become interested in this particular area of medicine, arrhythmia?
Well, I knew during my internal medicine residency, which I did at St. Luke's Hospital, that the heart was the organ that was most interesting to me. And as I pursued my cardiology fellowship, the lectures on the heart rhythm disturbances or arrhythmias were most fascinating to me. I found myself wanting to read more, talking to the professors after the lectures, and I knew that the heart rhythms were what I wanted to spend my life treating and diagnosing. Additionally, I did have a close family member. My mother's sister was an orthopedic surgeon, and at age 48, she unfortunately succumbed to a fatal heart rhythm disturbance that I believe in this day and age would have been preventable. And so my relationship with her and what happened to her also spurred my curiosity in heart rhythm disturbances and desire to hopefully treat as many people as possible and avoid a tragic accident like that.
What do you think could have been done if there had been more awareness with your aunt?
Well, she had what we call a cardiomyopathy or a weak heart, and she did have some warning symptoms when talking to her husband that she was getting lightheaded at times, dizzy, feeling faint. And these are warning symptoms, particularly in patients with weak hearts, not necessarily normal hearts, but patients with weak hearts, that they could be having a dangerous heart rhythm disturbance. In today's modern electrophysiology world, if you will, anybody who has a weak heart is seen by a doctor like myself and evaluated as to whether they should have a defibrillator placed to prevent a dangerous heart rhythm disturbance from happening or from causing a fatal event in a patient. And we call that primary prevention, in which patients with weak hearts who we know are at risk for having a heart rhythm disturbance that could be life-threatening get a defibrillator placed before the event actually happens.
So that's something that is relatively new. It's the defibrillator came into being in the 90s, I believe. Is that correct?
Correct. Prior to the 1990s, in order to have a defibrillator placed, it usually involved open heart surgery where they had to open up the chest wall and place leads directly on the heart. In the early 1990s, they developed what we call transvenous systems where you can put a defibrillator in really essentially through a small surgical incision in the left or right chest wall, and you access the heart via the veins just like placing a pacemaker. So it's become a much simpler procedure.
And right now, I believe schools are required to have defibrillators, places of public interest. Is that correct? Like movie theaters and things of that sort?
Well, my feeling is that any place where there are large public gatherings or crowds should have a defibrillator at them. That goes for gyms, schools, The Sands Casino, we know, has defibrillators. But yes, all schools are required to have defibrillators, and at most athletic events, they have a defibrillator present. Interestingly, it used to be known that if you have what's called a cardiac arrest outside of the hospital, you have only a 5 or 10% chance of living. In a recently published article about defibrillators in high schools, 60% of people who had a cardiac arrest at high schools with defibrillators went on to survive their cardiac arrest. That's an incredible improvement to go from 5 to 10% survival rate to 60 to 70% survival rate. So it just goes to show that being aware that cardiac arrests can occur and having what we call external defibrillators in public places can make a tremendous difference.
Well, that is an amazing advancement in our awareness and an amazing advancement in public health care. I wanted to ask you, how do we know? How do we make a decision that we are having a problem that concerns rhythm of the heart, that we should be concerned? Because as I mentioned in the opening, sometimes we get very excited, something wonderful is happening, or sometimes we get sad. How do we determine when there's something that we need to pay attention to and take ourselves to either an emergency room or to our doctor or primary doctor? How do we make that decision?
That's a wonderful question. The normal heartbeat is very sensitive to emotions, to exercise, and it normally increases and decreases with exercise and emotions. In fact, the normal heartbeat becomes very slow when we sleep at night. It's almost like our hibernating mode. We can have our heart even pause for a few seconds in the middle of the night, and that's normal because we're relaxed. A heart rhythm disturbance generally presents as an abnormally fast heart rate at a time when it shouldn't be fast. For instance, if you're just sitting reading your morning paper and all of a sudden your heart starts racing, that can be an indication that you have a heart rhythm disturbance. And most heart rhythm disturbances present as palpitations. Palpitations, I would define as an unpleasant awareness of one's heartbeat. Most people, you know, your heart beats 60 to 100 beats a minute. Most people have no idea that their heart's beating away. But patients who often present with heart rhythm disturbances all of a sudden become cognizant that their heart is beating. And not only do they realize that their heart is beating, but it feels irregular or abnormally fast. And that's an indication that you should probably seek medical attention. If you are just feeling your heart beating irregularly or rapidly once in a while, but it's not causing you to be short of breath or have chest pain or dizziness, I think it's something that you can make an appointment with your primary care physician and discuss. Obviously, if it's something that is causing discomfort, chest discomfort, lightheadedness, dizziness, feeling like you might pass out, that's an indication that you should seek emergency medical attention.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Eleanor Bobro, and we're talking this evening with Dr. Darren Traub, who is a cardiologist who specializes in arrhythmia and electrophysiology at St. Luke's Hospital. And I want to mention to you also that if you're interested in this subject further, he is presenting a seminar.
I'm going to be presenting a seminar on the most common heart rhythm disturbance, which is atrial fibrillation, and that's going to be Wednesday, October 17th at 6:30 p.m. at Warren Hospital.
And now tell me, Dr. Traub, what is atrial fibrillation? I can't quite say that too well. And how do we know that it's occurring in our being?
Well, atrial fibrillation is the most common heart rhythm disturbance, and it's much more common in people over the age of 60 than under the age of 60. In the normal heart, the pacemaker for the heart is called the sinus node, and you listeners have heard the term normal sinus rhythm. In normal sinus rhythm, the pacemaker for the heart or sinus node is controlling the heartbeat, and it causes the top chambers of the heart to squeeze and effectively fill the bottom chambers. In atrial fibrillation, the top chambers of the heart, the electrical impulse in the top chambers of the heart has become rapid and irregular, and rather than squeezing effectively these top chambers or atria do what we call fibrillate or quiver, and they lose their ability, they lose their mechanical function and their ability to effectively fill the bottom chambers of the heart. So patients in atrial fibrillation often feel more fatigued, wiped out. They might feel their heart beating irregularly and rapid, but there's often a sense of unwellness that wasn't there before.
Now, this condition, does this affect adults or can it affect children? Because the reason I'm asking is I just read recently where a very young child, 11 years old, 10 years old, was affected by atrial fibrillation. And I wonder, is that usual or is that unusual?
Well, it's quite unusual for anyone under the age of 20 to be affected by atrial fibrillation. The youngest patient that I've seen – is this referring to a patient who has unfortunately had a fatal heart event?
Yes.
That was probably what we call ventricular fibrillation. So that patient probably had a life-threatening rhythm disturbance in the bottom chamber of the heart, the ventricle. And that's sort of a separate issue that I'd be happy to talk about. But in terms of atrial fibrillation, that's generally seen in patients over the age of 60. And in fact, by the time you reach age 80, 10 to 15% of the population has atrial fibrillation. Now, keep in mind that the most rapidly growing portion of our population are people over the age of 70. So atrial fibrillation is dramatically increasing in prevalence in the United States.
So it's very important that we understand some of the symptoms that we need to look out for and also what are the steps that we can take to preserve our lives. Because if we are acquainted and knowledgeable, we will resist the temptation to put off taking action, which many people do, particularly men, when they are faced with some kind of warning signal in their bodies, and they tend to procrastinate. And what I wanted to find out is that, do you agree with that statement? You had a smile that listening audience couldn't see. Do you agree that men kind of procrastinate more than women?
It is very common to see men present with, in my field, heart rhythm disturbances that have been going on for a longer period of time than women. I think that's a correct statement. And we also often tell men to make sure they bring their wives to their appointments because the women tend to ask more questions and listen better. So they help take charge of the men's life for them. But it is not uncommon. Most heart rhythm disturbances are not dangerous. They're actually benign rhythm disturbances. And I spend a lot of time just reassuring patients of that. But certain heart rhythm disturbances, if your heart, for instance, is beating too fast for too long, it can weaken the heart. And I will say that I tend to see that more commonly in men than women.
And we'll return – when we return to Take Charge of Your Life, we're going to discuss more about the symptoms and some of the precautions and some of the steps that you can take in order to take charge of your life.
My name is Dan Pareski, founder of Dan's Camera City, and I just want to tell you about the best way to pledge at WDIY. For years, I've been a member, and I've always wondered whether or not my membership is up to date. I would get solicitations, and I would hear the pledge drives, and I always wanted to make sure that I did my part. I heard about this Evergreen program, and I said, wow, that's the answer. Now, I don't have to worry about it. Every time I tune in, I know that I'm paid up, because every month, $10 is taken out of my account. So my $120 a year doesn't come across like $120 because I don't even feel it. For the price of a couple of beers, I am paid up for the year. And it just keeps on revolving. That's why they call it Evergreen. So if something special comes up and I want to contribute a little extra, it doesn't get confused with my membership. When you dial in, tell them you want to be an Evergreen member. It's really the way to go. The number to call is 610-758-8810. Thank you for supporting WDIY.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. We're talking this evening with Dr. Darren Traub, a cardiologist who is here to help us understand what is atrial fibrillation. I got that right. And the most important thing is, we talked about in the early part of the program, we talked about how it's a rhythm disturbance. But most people are not aware about what can happen if we don't pay attention to some of the symptoms. And some of the symptoms are, Dr. Traub?
The most common symptom in atrial fibrillation is feeling your heart beating rapidly and irregularly. But a lot of patients just simply lose their energy level. They used to be able to walk up two flights of stairs. Now they have to rest after four or five stairs. They can't walk, you know, they used to walk around the grocery store easily, and now they're finding they have to stop and rest in different aisles. So a lack of energy or fatigue is a very common presentation. And a lot of people say, well, I just thought I was getting older. But in reality, their heart's not beating as efficiently. Unfortunately, if atrial fibrillation isn't diagnosed, then two things can happen. If the heart is beating too fast for too long, the heart depletes its energy source and can start weakening. Usually that's reversible, but if it goes on for too long, that can be irreversible. And the thing that I fear the most is that when the atria are fibrillating or quivering, blood becomes stagnant and it tends to pool and it can clot and actually cause us to have a stroke.
Ah. So that's the big thing.
Correct.
That's the big thing. Because what I'm hearing is that if you discover a rhythm disturbance and look into it, you have ways to deal with that in a non-invasive way, if it's caught early enough. But the big thing to be on guard is that if we do not pay attention to the signs and symptoms, that a stroke can occur.
That's correct. And so if a patient or a listener is feeling their heart beating irregularly or simply has noticed that they just don't have the energy that they used to, that their exercise tolerance is not what it used to be, then I think that's an indication that they should have an evaluation by their doctor, because while there are many reasons to have those symptoms, a heart rhythm disturbance can be one of them. And if a patient has atrial fibrillation, if their heart is beating irregular, then they need to be on a blood thinner to prevent a stroke from happening.
And that becomes a lifetime process, the blood thinner?
For the majority of patients, once you're diagnosed with atrial fibrillation, you're either going to need to be on aspirin or a blood thinner. Everybody's probably heard of the word Coumadin.
Yes.
But now there are alternative blood thinner agents. One is called dabigatran, and one is called rivaroxaban, that also are blood thinners that can be used in place of Coumadin. So for today's atrial fibrillation patient, there's many different choices of medicines to prevent strokes that are better for accommodating individual patients' lifestyles.
Now, when a person has a stroke due to atrial fibrillation, is it possible to rehabilitate that patient with their heart?
Well, when a patient has a stroke, unfortunately, strokes due to atrial fibrillation or undiagnosed atrial fibrillation are often larger than strokes, say, to just small blockages in the brain, which is why, of course, it's so important to diagnose and treat effectively atrial fibrillation. But if the patient has not had significant damage during their stroke, then they usually can rehabilitate their body. And we've now diagnosed that they have atrial fibrillation so that we can get them on blood thinners to prevent another stroke. Now, one of the clinical questions that comes up is sometimes patients present with strokes and we don't know why it happened. We actually call those cryptogenic strokes. We don't have an explanation for it. And what I do in my practice is I actually place they almost look like jump drives, if you will, under the skin, because we know that a certain percentage of those strokes are due to undocumented or undiagnosed atrial fibrillation. So I'm now looking for the next 2 or 3 years, does this patient have atrial fibrillation or not?
So really, so what you're really saying is some people, particularly as we mentioned earlier, sometimes men tend to put off seeking out information or going to the physician to determine whether this is something they should be aware of, if they're feeling tired or sluggish or their energy is off. They tend to postpone it. So what you're saying is the best thing to do is to eliminate the idea of procrastination and move forward and make that appointment. And the most important thing is to bring somebody with you, preferably your wife. And why is that, Dr.
Well, I think that I find that a lot of patients just say, I just thought I was getting older, or I thought this was the way it was going to be, or, yeah, I noticed this a while ago and I just figured I'd get to it. But in medical conditions, if you procrastinate, I'm not saying every symptom that you have, every little cold and cough and, you know, chest twinge needs to cause you to seek immediate medical attention. But if you've experienced a significant change in your life, in your energy level, in your exercise tolerance, in how your body feels, earlier diagnosis and treatment can prevent perhaps worsening complications. And so it's important to take charge of your life, if you will, seek that medical attention earlier, because unfortunately there are some rhythm disturbances, heart conditions, et cetera, where if it goes on too long, you might not get a second chance.
Now, have you had occasion experiences in your own practice where people came in with some symptoms, perhaps either just in time or too late? Can you give us an example?
I've had examples of all of those. But one example that sticks out to me is a patient who was not feeling well for at least 4 to 6 weeks. He was feeling sluggish, didn't have the energy level.
How old was this patient?
He was in his late 50s.
Uh-huh.
And he was even close friends with his family physician, and he did not seek medical attention. He already knew that he had some heart problems. And finally, by the time he sought medical attention, it turned out that his heart had been racing at about 130, 140 beats a minute, probably for 4 to 6 weeks. And so he required hospitalization. He had gone into what we call congestive heart failure. And so we had to give him special diuretics to get the fluid off. And then on top of that, it was very difficult for me to get his heart back in regular rhythm and maintain it in regular rhythm because the heart had gotten weaker and dilated over time. So this patient who I became very close with, I wasn't sure whether I was going to need to tell him, you know, you may actually need a heart transplant. And that really could have all been avoided if he had just sought medical attention earlier, 2, 3, 4 weeks earlier. Fortunately, he's doing great. He now checks his pulse every day. He's taking charge of his life.
Right.
He checks his pulse every day, and he knows that if his heart rate is greater than 90 beats a minute, he calls me immediately.
Well, I think that's what – that's a small thing that we can do. We can check our own pulses on a daily basis if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
What else can we do on a small basis to check our symptoms that would be helpful to us?
Well, I think one of the most important things you can do is to keep yourself active. And this goes beyond just heart rhythm disturbances. But America, there is an obesity epidemic in America. We know that. Obesity not only causes heart rhythm disturbances more commonly, but also causes blockages or coronary artery disease, if you will, more commonly. And I would encourage our listeners to try to get exercise at least 3 times a week for 30 minutes.
And, you know, I have I've been in contact with people who have been active and are now either retired, and they find themselves sitting around more. And they complain that they feel stiff and they don't feel that energy. Does that happen if we allow our bodies to be inactive?
Absolutely. One of my favorite expressions is things that stay at rest, stay at rest.
Ah.
And so one of the wonderful things that our community hospitals are supplying, whether it's Lehigh Valley Hospital or St. Luke's Hospital, are the opportunities. A lot of these hospitals have gyms affiliated with them. And so what I say to my patients is, listen, I know you're afraid to take that initial step and exercise, but sign up for one of our St. Luke's gyms. We have a gym at St. Luke's North Campus in Bethlehem Township. We have a beautiful gym at St. Luke's Anderson Campus. Sign up for one of these gyms and get yourself there. There's no safer place to exercise than in a medical facility. So I really encourage people to get out and do that. And they're going to feel better if they're active, period. I've never had a patient tell me that they don't feel better once they're active.
And one of the things is sometimes when we think about activity, we think about, lifting weights and running around the track. And it doesn't have to be that active. It can be something small and simple. Like what, doctor?
Just go for a walk. Get outside. And if it's winter, go to the mall and walk around. Just get your body moving. It can be swimming. Swimming is a wonderful exercise that is non-weight bearing. So anything you can do to keep your body in motion in the long run will help your body.
So that will help your body to maintain the rhythm and help your heart to maintain the normal rhythm.
Absolutely.
And that's something that we can do to help prevent any breakdown in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the seminar that you're going to be giving on October 17th at the Warren campus of St. Luke's Hospital.
At that seminar, I'm going to talk about atrial fibrillation, which I explained is the most common heart rhythm disturbance. And my goal is to really teach patients what causes atrial fibrillation. One of the things that patients need to understand, I have so many healthy patients come in and say, I don't understand why this happened to me. I exercise, I'm not obese, I eat right. But atrial fibrillation is very often just a primary electrical disturbance of the heart that has nothing to do with the patient's health habits. It's just something that happens. We can't always explain why. And I want patients to understand that, because I think if you understand your medical disorder, you can accept it and treat it so much better. So my primary goal at that seminar is to educate people what causes it, why it happens, and then to talk about treatment options for them. Because one of the hardest things I think to do as a patient is to say, okay, this is a treatment option I can live with. Once you're diagnosed with a medical problem, you're often so upset that you have it, and none of the options seem acceptable to you. But one of my goals is to educate the people who come to the seminar what are the different treatment options, so they can go to their doctor and say, this sounds right for me.
I want to thank you so much, Dr. Darren Traub, cardiologist at St. Luke's Hospital in Bethlehem, for helping us to understand the symptoms that we need to be aware of to take charge of our lives. And if you'd like to learn more, you can come to the seminar that Dr. Traub is giving at the St. Luke's campus in Warren Hospital on Wednesday evening, October 17th at 6:30 p.m. And we want to thank you for making us aware that we can take charge of our lives by understanding that if we have symptoms such as being tired or noticing a rapid heartbeat, that we need to take action, seek out help, and be safe rather than sorry. Thank you so much, Dr. Darren Traub, for helping us to take charge of our lives. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.